We've been hearing about the death of the mall for years now, and in some places, they've actually already died. But for those that have clung on, the COVID-19 crisis could actually be that nail in the coffin. For more, let's bring in Robin Farzad. He is host of Public Radio's Full Disclosure at member station VPM. Hello, Robin.
Hi, Tanya.
So we've known the troubles for many years of those anchor stores like JCPenney and Sears, but now the list has grown. I mean, we're talking about Neiman Marcus and other stores like J. Crew, and these are big players that make up a lot of space in indoor and outdoor malls as we know them. How will these bankruptcies impact shopping malls really as we know them?
Well, as a father, I got to tell you, I feel for my son that he's completely been deprived of this, the pre-adolescent angst experience of getting dropped off at the mall and going to the record store and the food court and then saving a quarter or two for the arcade. You talk about these brands like JCPenney and Neiman Marcus. These are anchor tenants, the cornerstones of the American mall experience, and they're fading fast.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit more about that, but I want to ask you about these mall operators, which are basically landlords for these stores. They report that they've only collected a fraction of their rents in April. Many of them have their own debts to pay. I mean, how are these operators negotiating this?
Yeah, the mall owners, they're negotiating in a manner that tries to preserve the longevity of the lease. After all, you want the lifetime value of a tenant. So we've had a restaurant owner on my show who negotiated rent payments at the very end of his lease. Can you just tack them on to the end of the lease term? But then you have heavy hitters nationally like Starbucks coming out like straight up and saying, we need permanent concessions because the business has changed permanently. We're not operating a sit-down cafe. It's not as square foot intensive. So you need to give us back what was in those terms.
Simon Property Group, which is the largest mall operator in the country, they've already opened about 49 of its malls across the country. But one analyst said he thinks 90% of the malls actually won't be around in a year. Do you think that's right?
90% I think is draconian, but you are going to see a continued cycle of distress, or, you know, as you mentioned above, I can't pay my rent. So the mall as a whole is then strapped and has to fess up to its bank. And then the bank realizes it has too many of these on its balance sheet. And then you get the regional feds and regulators involved and everything. We haven't seen that yet because we're still kind of in the haze of the fog of war. But I think when some of this dust settles, you're going to see that systemically. You're going to see Wall Street, the real estate investment trust investors suddenly realize that this is a distressed sector. It's a sector in crisis.
Yeah. The National Retail Federation has been begging Congress for a bailout since so many Americans actually do work in the retail space, though. And some lawmakers have understandably, as you said, we're not actually too keen on propping up what looks like a dying industry. I guess the bigger question, though, is that do malls provide something in the way of jobs and retail spending that can't be replicated anywhere else?
I mean, in the throes of this pandemic, my neighborhood CVS unveiled two self-checkout lines. Still, I think it becomes everyone's problem when the majority of these millions of service workers, I think I saw a number like 16 million workers, they're furloughed or suddenly cut loose with a national unemployment rate approaching 20%. Again, that's when it becomes everybody's problem and you can't just hold your nose and say, oh, well, that industry's dying anyway. We're all in this together right now. It is truly everybody's problem.
That's Robin Farzad, host of Public Radio's Full Disclosure on member station VPM. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Tanya.